You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com. Gentleman who has put in many hours of research covering combative sports at realfightstories.com. I just tweeted out his new story that just went up literally minutes ago. And it's talking about some errors that have been made by the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission. And most notably surrounding the unfortunate passing of Tim Hegg. Mike Russell from realfightstories.com joins us. Mike, as always, lots of research for you put into this story. And it definitely doesn't shine a great light on the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission. And number one, I guess, that they didn't follow their own rules, and that based on their rules and policies and bylaws, Tim Hegg should not have been fighting the last time.
Yes, yes. The last time, he should have been two different ways he should have been suspended for the last fight. One was a 90-day suspension. The other was a one-year suspension. But as you can see, if you read through the story there, there were four different instances where Edmonton failed to suspend Tim Hegg when he shouldn't have taken any head damage after basically a head injury. Like when you get knocked out or a TKO, they stop those fights because of how much head trauma you're taking, which means that if you read through the story, I've talked to a lot of some of the best neurologists in the sports, boxing and MMA, and they said that, you know, it's clearly going to be really hard to figure out which blow killed Tim Hegg. We don't know if it was the canvas. We don't know if it was Adam Braidwood. We don't know if it was, you know, all this accumulative damage that he took while he was supposed to be during these rest periods. So the one thing we can say for sure, though, is that had the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission and its executive director, Pat Reed, done their jobs, Tim Hegg would not have fought and he'd still be alive today.
It's amazing. I'm looking at your article right now, and about a third of the way down, you have a chart for reference. And the chart, and I'll just say in your words, a chart below lists all of Hegg's fights, results, the actual suspensions, and the mandatory Edmonton medical suspension he should have been sanctioned by with three in the ECSC. And it blows me away, because the last two columns are the actual suspension and the mandatory. And, I mean, they are not even close, according to your chart, exactly where it's supposed to be. I mean, how does that even slip through? What is it, nine fights?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest mistakes that I found was that there's a part of the bylaw that actually says that the executive director is mandated within 2 business days in Edmonton to supply all results and all suspensions to the Association of Boxing Commission's 2 databases. So for boxing, it's called Fight Facts. For mixed martial arts, it's called the MMA database, just for, you know, ease of use. So Pat Reed actually failed to send 2 sets of results. So 36 results in all from those 2 events never got submitted. So there were 36 incidents right there on these 2 events where these fighters that were, you know, some of these medical suspensions that they were issued by Edmonton on paper that wasn't submitted were indefinite suspensions, with the only clearance that they could have would be, because it was head trauma induced, would be that a neurologist cleared them or a doctor did like a medical test on them. So, you know, a lot of these fighters now, the questions are going to be, have they fought when they shouldn't have? You know, there's a list of fighters that I'm, the story is going to be growing, and if you keep checking back, there's going to be more added to it. I've got a lot more to add. I just kind of ran out of time just because this is basically my hobby. So I don't get paid to write about MMA, which some people, you know, look down on me for. But, you know, when my results of my information and research, you know, show things like this, I don't think that it's really a discreditable thing. So I look at it and I shake my head, and every regulator, I actually talked to a lot of people from the Association of Boxing Commissions. I put out a survey, and I'm going to be posting that survey later. I think of all the people that responded to the survey, not one person responded that they would have sanctioned Tim Hegg to fight for them unless, just looking at his record, unless he did further brain testing and medical testing. And the problem will be then, you know, whose fault is it? But, you know, it all lies. If you look at the way the bylaws were written to give Pat Reed absolute power, he also has absolute responsibility and absolute liability.
Mike Russell from realfightstories.com joins us. I highly recommend you go there if you want to read the story. Is the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission responsible for Tim Hague's death. And that's not to make light. I know you've reached out to the Hague family. They're not caught off guard. They knew this story was coming.
Yep.
It's more so, you know, looking at ways to prevent it, because Hague, unfortunately, he's not the first story. And I applaud you, because in October of 2015, you wrote an article outlining many of these same, you know, different fighters where there had been not following of protocol and bylaws by Reed and the commission. And when you had tried to approach Edmonton City Council, they basically didn't listen to you.
They ignored me. I actually sent them a link that was trackable, so I could track how many people clicked that link. It had Pat Reed admitting on the tape that he admitted that he had suspended somebody unlawfully, that he'd broken his own bylaw. So, you know, I know it wasn't a safety issue, but the fact that I had evidence that he had broken a bylaw, and there had been other cases too. If you look back in the history of council, there were council complaints put in, even by City Councilor Ron Hader, who at one point was the man that was responsible for championing the commission and brought it to a point where we were getting WBC title fights in Edmonton. So, you know, the fact that there was all this oversight, I think that there's going to have to be this investigation. I think, you know, Mayor Iveson had it right. He said that it's owed to Tim Hague's family, and it's owed to all the people who fight under the ECSC to find out what went wrong and to find out, you know, what happened here. And I think it's going to have to go deeper, because I think there's a lot of people in City Hall and in the administration that are going to have to answer. There's, you know, Linda Cochran was on Pat Reed's resume as one of his references. So then you had to look at David Akin, who hired him and vetoed the hiring decision, was basically working under Linda Cochran, and also on Pat Reed's resume as a reference for this job was Al Moore when he was the city manager. So, you know, there's this inference that whoever was interviewing him might have been intimidated into hiring him because his bosses were on there. Or the fact was Akin knew Pat Reed before, because Pat Reed worked on the University Games bid in Edmonton. And the facts are is that they didn't want to lose him. So they placed him in a square peg hammered into a round hole, and the corners that were cut caused a death.
Now, in your article, you have an email from Darren Meltzer, right?
Yep.
The Grand Prairie Combative Sports Commission, where he had sent via email asking Pat Reed, he wanted to follow up, how long has Hague medical suspension and stipulations, because he was scheduled to fight there in April, and I know that KOs can be 60-plus quite often. The response was he was only given 30 days. Are you allowed to only – does the commission have power to decide if it's 30 or 60 days just
in
based on their own choice, or do they have to follow the bylaw?
They have to follow the bylaw. So the way the bylaw works is one KO – you get 30 days automatic, or TKO. So if you get knocked down three times in a boxing fight and it's under the rules that it's a TKO, or the doctor steps in, or the referee steps in and says, you know what, he's taking punches, he's covering up, but he's taking a lot of shots. There's a video clip I'll link you later that Pat Reed actually talks about this, you know, in detail about guys taking shots. And he actually kind of talked about the fact that, you know, if a death happens, how he would escape liability. And he named everything, but he didn't name himself in the fact that he'd done his due diligence with the fighter's record. So 30 days first knockout, 60 days second one in a one-year period, 90 days for your third one. This is just MMA. So boxing, it's actually more. So boxing, the stipulations are that they're much higher, because they figure you're taking way more shots in a boxing fight, which is true. And the gloves are heavier. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. But in the same sense, the bylaw is the bylaw, and you can't go around it. And that's, you know, if you look at all those other stories about, you know, Pat Reed letting guys take home gloves, there's another one. And I've talked to the promoter on this. I've talked to the actual people that were involved. There was a fighter that Pat Reed actually tried to allow. The commission came backstage at this one unified event and told the fighter's name was George Belanger. They told him that his opponent had failed his medicals because he was missing a component on his blood test. So one of the things that was mandated in the rules in Edmonton, he was missing. So those blood tests are to protect fighters from bloodborne pathogens. So they came back, and it was the commission doctor and the commissioner came back and told George Belanger that the fight was off while he was warming up in the back for the main event. 10 minutes later, Pat Reed, according to Belanger, came up to him and told him, we will overlook that missing blood test if you still want to fight. He decided against it because it's his safety on the line, and you know that you don't get paid a lot of money in these fights. your safety is paramount when this is a hobby for a lot of these guys. You know, it's almost like if you went out to play hockey on a weekend with your friends, for a lot of these guys that have full-time jobs, and you don't come home on the Monday after, who's going to be responsible for this? Is it, you know, something at the arena? The way I see it is, if this was a building permit that was issued, because Pat Reed is actually the permit issuer, and he's also the bylaw officer here. So because he's restricted by this bylaw, he has to kind of punish himself and self-regulate himself. So when he doesn't follow all these bylaws, he doesn't get punished. So the point being is that if a bylaw officer issued somebody a permit when they weren't supposed to have a building permit and somebody died, the city is going to be responsible, and the permit issuer who did that in negligence because he didn't look at the computer, that's negligence to me. So, you know, the fact that if you read down on my story there, if you've refreshed it, the Edmonton Police Services are looking into this case to decide whether or not Pat Reed acted negligently, criminally negligently causing death, or there's various other statutes that relate to if you're in a public position where your position and your duties are to protect the health and safety of somebody under your care and you fail to do it, then that's another criminal charge. So they're looking heavily at this, and I hope that they listen to Mayor Iveson saying that we hope that we have a transparent and fair investigation. Problem with that, though, is that right now I've got a voicemail that from the guy that's leading the investigation that someone sent me, saying that David Akin will be involved in this investigation because he needs to provide some of his expertise, and that the commission will be involved in it as well, and they need to provide their expertise. Well, the chair of the commission is actually the ex-city solicitor who may or may not have been involved with writing these faulty bylaws. So he's got to be removed from this investigation as well. I think third party means third party, and yes, everybody that's involved in this case needs to just say, you know, answer the questions, give me the documents, do what you need to do. They shouldn't be – right now I think Reed has taken the microscope and pointed it somewhere where everybody's, you know, he's telling them to look, and they're interviewing everybody about the fight. The fight has nothing to do with this right now.
Yes.
The question is, why was he on the playing field?
When you look at this, the whole situation, the way that it's led up, and maybe the way other boxers or MMA people have never been, you know, involved, is this a lot different than the way it happens in other municipalities and other areas?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? The ABC, I got to give them credit for where credit is due. They would send out, and it was hard for me to obtain a lot of these documents because of the association. They didn't want to breach the association. But you know what? When it's a serious thing like this and it's affecting everybody, because the worst part is you don't know if Tim took head damage in some of these fights where he shouldn't have been fighting, and it's accumulative. If you read through some of my the neurologists that I spoke to,
yep,
they said that adds up. And mm-hmm, that, you know, he could die down the road. It's like the way I explain these reports, it's like a Carfax report. You buy a car from somewhere and you don't know about it, you can get a Carfax report. You can read through the history of all the damage it's taken, the mileage it's taken. Well, these reports, physicians and ringside physicians and really apt commissioners and executive directors who actually know about the sports that they're regulating, look at the details like I do. You know, you can see things that maybe other people don't see. You look at the fact that this was a four-round fight, and you think, well, that's a pretty big fight for an MMA fight because it was a title fight. I wonder how much head trauma he took. Well, you go over to Top MMA News, and you look up the play-by-play and realize it tells you right there he was out on his feet, got knocked down. You know, it's all in black and white. It's just Pat Reed apparently doesn't know very well how to use a computer. So how did he get a job if he had no experience in combat sport, no knowledge in combat sport? They hired a technical coordinator to come in and fill in the gaps for him when he first started, and he had him fired as part of this roundup when they were trying to get rid of commissioners that had put complaints about drinking and other oversights like this against him. So, you know, there's a lot of questions need to be answered, like how did a guy with zero qualifications for a job that was so technically in-depth, how did he get that job? You know, I couldn't go right now if somebody said, I need you to go regulate, say, figure skating or a sport that I wasn't familiar with. I could not regulate that as good as I could something like MMA or boxing that I know about. You know, and he jumped in the deep end and started regulating right away. So I don't know who thought that this was a good idea. I think the biggest issue was we had people that were non-combat sport people looking at things like, you know, the fact that he let a guy take his gloves home for a title fight overnight and they clearly came back tampered with. People have gone to jail for that. You know, there have been actual people that have gone to jail for tampering with or allowing someone to wear the gloves that were tampered with. And Pat Reed let him wear it because he wanted them stretched out so that, you know, the gloves could be used and they didn't have to use a non-logo glove the next day. So it's not like it is like hockey where you borrow gloves. That's a major offense when you're making them, you know, sharp edges on them or breaking. One thing a boxing judge told me was that you could soak them in water and smash them with a hammer when they freeze. And then you put the gloves back on, nobody would even know by looking at them that they're damaged. So, you know, when you go into a contest, everybody that's involved that signs the contract needs to be following the rules or else it's not a legal binding contract. So everybody that says that there's this, you know, stipulation in the bylaws and stuff that says that they can't be held responsible if you know, something happens to someone, well, that's not going to hold up when you figure that the commission wasn't following the bylaws either.
Mike Russell from RealFightStories.com, an in-depth story at RealFightStories.com on this. If you want to follow along, you can. Now, Mike, one other thing, you mentioned how Reed wasn't submitting the results to ABC Boxing. So, you know, the other commissions would go to look to see a fighter's record. They couldn't find truth of it. Could ABC suspend the Edmonton Commission as a whole?
You know what? It's one of those tricky things. I've been kind of hammering at the ABC for a couple of years over this because I found out that there was an ABC kind of, I guess, disciplinary hearing that I've got record of on my site that they lied to the ABC disciplinary committee and blamed all of, it was back when Pat Reed actually approved dangerous, what are called dream rules. You know, in Japan, you can get away with these rules where you can stomp on guys' heads and kick them in the face while they're laying on the ground, all this other stuff that isn't included in the unified rules of MMA. Well, when he came in, he had this promoter tell him how he had this great idea and showed him all these great tapes. Well, his lack of experience said, great, let's do it. He started putting out press releases trying to promote this freak show of a fight. And then next thing you know, all these, you know, ABC's writing about them in their newsletters saying that if they do anything, they're going to be looked at as a rogue commission. So they went and lied and blamed it on the old guard that were trying to get rid of Pat Reed for all of the stuff that he had done over the years. And lo and behold, he got away with lying. So I brought that to their attention, proved that he'd lied. They'd done nothing about it. And ever since then, I've given them all kinds of other oversights and they've done nothing. So the truth is they're a volunteer organization. Reed actually sent them all a letter last night because I'd sent out the poll with a bunch of my stories, including quotes that he thought the ABC was Mickey Mouse and a joke. And all he sent them was a two-line message saying that he supports the ABC and the president, Mike Mazzulli. So, you know, I think he sees the writing on the wall and he's just looking for support maybe in this time. But everybody I've spoken to that's an ABC-affiliated member has nothing but mostly disgust with this situation.
Well, Mike, you've done lots of work for over 2 years on this, and I really applaud you for all of your hard work and effort. A lot of research goes into it. I know this won't be the last story, and we'll likely have you on as this moves forward, but it's definitely not a story. I think that people involved in Edmonton in the fight community should be well aware of it and should be asking questions to city council and city managers and looking for an example and or an answer. And I hope that your articles at least get people asking the question, will they at least have a true third-party investigation, not people that are linked to the commission. For the commission to be part of the third-party investigation makes absolutely no sense to me.
No. When basically you got to turn the spotlight on the commission and see what happened, you know, if it was an event. I we know what happened. And you know, it's not going to be one of those, well, this is what happened. Even an autopsy probably won't show it. But I think you need to pull the microscope back. You need to look at what went into him getting licensed. And then you need to look at who enabled Pat Reed over the years and let him go. You know, all of the city council that I sent my complaint to about actually the Cody McKenzie incident, which I haven't even written about on the site yet, but I will reveal it here. Cody McKenzie was actually ineligible to fight for World Series of Fighting in that event that Pat Reed illegally suspended him for. So not only did he affect his livelihood by illegally suspending him, which was designed so he couldn't fight in, I think, Calgary or Red Deer in a month or two, he also took away his ability to fight illegally because he never should have granted him a license because he fought in a non-sanctioned fight less than 90 days before he got a license in Edmonton. And the rule is 90 days off, or you can't apply for a license until 90 days have taken place between the bout and the bout that you want to apply for.
Mike, great stuff, man. I look forward to following along all your stories. I highly recommend everybody who's interested in this go to realfightstories.com. Thanks, Mike.
Always a pleasure, Jason.